and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
I'm really excited to be here with you guys. Excited for Holy Week. I hope everyone had a good Palm Sunday. And if we haven't met, my name is Hillary. I'm the campus pastor here. So it's an honor to worship with you and just spend a little time this morning just with God. What a privilege that we can get up at a 9 a.m. and sing praises to the Lord in safety and in security. And I don't want to take that for granted, but like every pastor says ever, I'm not going to talk long. hopefully it really isn't that long. I know it's like famous last words and there's like 10 closings and all that stuff, but I just kind of want to get to what the Lord has just been sharing with me in this time of reflection with him. So let's pray one more time. Lord, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word that it remains true and will always remain true, God. Would you just speak through me? Help me to say all that you want said. Keep me from saying the things that I should not say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's a good prayer to pray. If you are a sassy person, highly recommend. I pray it daily. but we're going to just jump right into scripture. Matthew 21 is where we'll be. And if you don't know, I'll give a little context. This is Matthew 21 is Jesus's return, his big triumphant return. It's where we get Palm Sunday from. And when he's like re-entering, people are throwing palms, and it's a big deal because it's like him finally walking in what we know him to be, which is the savior of the world. So we're going to pick up. Gosh, I kind of want to read the whole thing, but I feel like that's a lot. But let's just do it. Let's get crazy. We love the word of God here. Word of life. Ha. Okay, so Matthew 21 in verse 1. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them on immediately." How many of you know if the Lord needs it, send it immediately? That was just a side note. Now, this took place so that what was spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. How many of you know it's good to do just as Jesus instructs you? "And brought the donkey and the colt and laid their cloaks on them, and he sat on the cloaks. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them out on the road. Now the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowds were saying, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Going back to verse 9, "Now the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" You guys say Hosanna. Hosanna. That was good. Y'all are awake. That part just struck me this whole time and reading about this Holy Week and just leading up to the crucifixion, death and resurrection of Jesus. The Lord has just highlighted worship to me and just the importance of it in this week. Specifically, that word Hosanna was jumping out to me because whenever I thought of Hosanna, I would think of a song. You guys are probably thinking of a song now. You're either like K-Love and you're going, Hosanna, right? And then the other side, y'all are like, Hallelujah FM, and you're like, Hosanna forever, we were, yeah, Or maybe did a bit of both. And I remember like growing up singing those songs, and my mom would have them on the radio, and it was just fun, you know? We just kind of worship God, but I didn't know what they meant. And when I was researching the word Hosanna, a lot of times we think of Hosanna as praise. But really, when you get to the Hebrew root of the word Hosanna, it means save us. It means help. It was a plea and it was a cry. But it was also like a crowd of people saying, you are my help. Not the Pharisees, not the tax collectors, not the rulers, but this God coming in on a donkey. You are my help. It was political. It was bold. It definitely stirred the pot a little, but it was truth because they could recognize what was before them. Because this is after Jesus's ministry, after he's healed so many and done miracle after miracle. And what's so cool about this is it says that after this day, he goes on to teach throughout the week. So he doesn't even stop here. His ministry keeps going. And they bring the sick to him. They bring the lame to him. And miracles are being done. And I can't help but think people are saying Hosanna every time they hear of it. And the first time we even hear the word Hosanna is right here in Matthew 21. It is nowhere else prior to this instance, which is just so powerful. Hosanna in the highest, help in the highest, help from the highest for you and for me. And my favorite part of this chapter, we'll jump ahead a little bit. So still in Matthew 21, and we'll pick up in verse 14. And this is like the sassy part of Holy Week after Jesus has cleared out the temple and he's like flipped the table, den of robbers, all that good stuff. Thought I was going to go there, but the Lord said worship. And I said, okay, it won't be sassy. But verse 14, it says, and those who were blind and those who limped came to him in the temple area and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done and the children who were shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read from the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself? Hosanna was in the mouth of children. And that's when they got mad. After that point, that's when they started planning his demise and how they were going to get rid of this savior, this help. And that just struck me so much because I thought back to being a child singing Hosanna forever. I worship you as a kid, and how that probably made hell a little angry. And a lot of you in this place, you are parents, and you bring your kids to church, and when they worship God on Sunday, it makes people angry, it makes hell angry. But if they're calling on to help, they will be helped. If they're calling on to help, they will be saved. If you're calling on for help, you will be helped. If you're calling on for help, you will be saved. And some of you in here, you're a representation of a legacy of praise because your parents set that tone for you in the car. They set that tone for you on your way to school. They set that tone for you, praying for you at night. And now you were this babe that made people mad. You were this babe that upset the religious. You were this babe that turned hell upside down. And now look at you in this place. How powerful that must be. To be 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 years of you crying, Hosanna. And some of you are in this place, and it's starting with you. Here at Fondren, they call us a young adult campus because we have a lot of young people that come to this place because who else would want to like be here late night and then go to Cane's after that? People who don't have like kids, honestly. And what I love about this ministry is that I see people who walk in who may have gone to church once or twice, but now they're deciding that this faith is real. They're deciding that this God is real. A legacy of faith is beginning, and it's making hell mad. But I want to encourage you, do not let when people become indignant steer you away from calling onto your Father. Steer you away from the work that God is doing, the saving power of Jesus. Declare boldly, Hosanna forever. I worship you. There is power in that. And, you know, this whole thing is about, for me right now, is about worship. And and just singing God's word and declaring it even in the middle of trials. See, God knew what was coming. Jesus knew what was to come. It was prophesied, right? But still, here he is, still teaching, still giving, letting people say he is the Savior. Because it's one thing for people to just say it. It's another thing to stop it. There's another thing to embrace it. And here he is, still doing what people are calling him to do. A healer, still healing. A teacher, still teaching. That's tremendous. And he's still doing that today. Hosanna is a generational statement. And this time it was a political statement. And, you know, we don't really get political at Word of Life. But there's going to be a time where this world is going to challenge you. And you have to stand up and say Hosanna forever. And it's a confession, declaring who he is for you. So as we go into this Holy Week and we continue in this Holy Week, let it be big in you. But let it carry on through the rest of the year. We shouldn't just be singing these songs or declaring God's goodness at Easter. It needs to be every day. It shouldn't just be on Holy Week, Holy Monday. Make every Monday holy. Because imagine what life would look like if we made Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday holy. What your life would look like, what power and authority you would walk with. Because we know after all of this comes the Church of Acts. And we've been praying a lot as a staff and as a team that this would be a Church of Acts. Word of Life would be like a Church of Acts. And what I love so much is that the disciples were walking in such authority and power that their shadows were healing people. And I believe that we can tap into that now, but it goes beyond a Holy Week on a calendar. Make every week holy. And how do we do that? We praise God. We declare him to be who he says he is, who we know him to be. Last night in the 6 p.m., pastor gave a great message, and we're talking about like greed and generosity and just how to be like financially sound as a believer, which is like very convicting. And he had this point that really struck me, and I had to like really unpack and still kind of unpacking. And he asked, he was like, do you believe that God wants to bless you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to make you rich? Do you believe that God wants to heal you? And I felt this tugging in my heart because I realized that I believe that he can. I have no doubt that God can do that. I have no doubt that he is a healer. I have no doubt that he is powerful. I have no doubt that he brings peace. But sometimes I doubt that he wants to do that for me. And that keeps me from making every week holy because I have not recognized the truth of who God is. But if I call on him as my Savior, it's not just that he can save, it's that he wants to save. And if he didn't want to, he wouldn't have sent Jesus in the first place. But I'm here to remind you that God wants you saved. He wants you protected. He wants you healed. He wants you to be a worshiper. He wants you bold in the face of adversity. He wants that for you. We got to believe it. It's going to change everything. So I know you guys, if you're here, you've been worshiping beautifully all morning, but I think it's time that we continue, that we take God at his word. We believe not just who he is, but that he wants to be that amazing, tremendous God to us, that we cry Hosanna forever and mean it forever, all of our days, every drop, till every drop is gone. And that we just surrender this week and all the weeks after to him. So let me pray for you. God, I just thank you that your word is true. It always has been and it always will be. Lord, I thank you that you are a Savior, you are a healer, you are a protector. God, I thank you that when we call on you, you so graciously come. And Lord, I thank you that in this time of reflection on your holiness, we get the determination we need and the drive and the inspiration that we need to make every single week holy. Because Jesus is a name that is forever. With Jesus comes a power that is for every moment of every day. So God, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We praise you. We make the statement for our families, for ourselves, for the generations to come, that you are a Savior. Hosanna in the highest. And if it makes people mad, let them be mad. Because we'd rather please you than please anyone of this earth. If it shakes hell, let hell shake. Because you are Hosanna, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.